And here we are. Amen. We got through the year and we're about to begin a new year. And I'm just excited to see what the Lord's going to do in each of our lives and see the work that His Spirit is going to perform. And so it's good to be here. We wish everyone a happy new year. And let's begin and let's get into the Word. If you would bow with me and let's open in a word of prayer. And we just want to ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would come and that He would teach us. That the Holy Spirit would perform His ministry, His work this morning and prepare our hearts, prepare my lips, and that there might be a connection of the both and that we might leave this place more in love with Jesus. Amen. How many of you want to leave more in love with Jesus? We got to ask the Holy Spirit then to do His work, because that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so let's pray. Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for a new year that You've given us. And thank You, Father, that we can start the new year off in the right way in Your house, Lord. And this morning, Father, we pray and ask that You would send Your Spirit, and that Holy Spirit, You would come and that You would teach us more about Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would anoint me this morning, that You would prepare my lips, and that You would just assist me to share a word that's going to be of a blessing to my brothers and sisters this morning. Lord, you're the only one who knows all the needs. You're the only one who knows where everyone is at this morning. And You're the only one who can bring a word of life. And so I pray this morning that You would come, that You would assist, that You would be preeminent in this place. And Lord, we just invite You, we just welcome You, and we just ask that You would be glorified this morning. Jesus, glorify Your name this morning amongst Your church. We ask all these things in Your precious name, and all God's people says, amen. How many could say amen to that? Amen. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to begin our study reading verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 18, and when you have it, let me know by saying amen. I don't want to read it until we all can read it together. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Everyone has it? Amen. This is what the Word of God says. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. And the family says, amen. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, I've titled our study, Spiritual Growth, My New Year's Resolution. Spiritual Growth, My New Year's Resolution. This morning, I want to talk about spiritual growth and maturity. As you all know, the beginning of a new year normally begins with making a list of New Year's resolutions for many people. What is a New Year's resolution? It's simply a list of goals, desires, or promises people seek to accomplish and keep during the new year. A lot of people see a new year as a new beginning, and so they have all these promises and goals that they seek to accomplish and keep that they weren't able to keep the previous year. Some of the more popular New Year's resolutions that people put on their list are losing weight and getting into shape. I think all of us have had that New Year's resolution since 1985, you know. We have another popular one is giving up smoking and drinking, getting more organized. God knows that we all need to do that. Getting a better job, buying a house, getting out of debt, finding a mate, learning something new. The list goes on and on. Resolutions, promises that people seek to accomplish and keep during the new year. But you all know what normally happens is as the year progresses, you forget the promises, you forget the resolutions, and the following new year, you end up making the same one. You know, I read a statistic that the most popular resolution is to lose weight, and by the end of the year, people end up being about 25 more pounds heavier than they were at the beginning. And it just seems to not work, you know. My brother told me his resolution, as mine, was to get into shape. And right after we said that, we went to go buy a pizza for lunch. It just doesn't work out. And so I'm sure that all of us, we've made some type of New Year's resolutions for the upcoming year. I know all of us in here, we have goals, we have desires, we have promises that we want to accomplish, that we want to keep in 2011. But listen to this. As followers of Jesus Christ, as a believer, on the top of our list, number one, above everything else, must be to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a 318 resolution, like I like to call it, a 2 Peter 3:18, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That has to be our top New Year's resolution for 2011. To grow and mature in the faith. Recently, I was reading an interview that was conducted with Billy Graham. 92-year-old Billy Graham was giving an interview. And in his interview, Billy Graham confessed that if he had to do it over again, he would have done things a little differently. He said in the interview that he would have spoken and he would have traveled less throughout his ministry, throughout his life, and that he would have studied and prayed more. He said, if I could have done anything differently, I would have spoken less, I would have traveled less, and I would have studied the Word of God, and I would have prayed more. And when I read that, when I heard about that, it really impacted me. Because like Billy Graham, I'm sure all of us, we would have done things a little differently in 2010. As we finish the year and as we look back and we have an overview of the year, I'm sure all of us, if we're honest, we would have done things a little differently. We could have prayed more. Amen. We could have studied more the scriptures. We could have pursued more spiritual growth, more maturity. We could have spent more time with Jesus in 2010. And so as we begin the new year and as we enter this year, it's so important that we enter with our hearts and our mindset on growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how you have to enter 2011 as a believer. That this year I'm going to dedicate more time, more energy, more effort to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That in 2011, going to grow. Amen. I'm going to mature. I'm going to develop and nurture my relationship with Christ. You see, spiritual growth and maturity, it's so important in the Christian walk. It's essential that as a Christian, you continuously grow in your relationship with Christ. You know, once you repent from your sin, once you commit your life to Christ and place your faith and trust in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches us that you are born again by the Spirit of God. You are regenerated by the Spirit of God, and your new life in Christ begins. But listen to this. The new birth, conversion, salvation, it's not the end of the story. But in all actuality, it's just the beginning. Salvation is the first step of a lifelong journey. Because after the new birth, after your spirit is regenerated, after you're given this new life in Christ, you're expected to grow. You're expected to develop. You're expected to mature in your relationship with Christ. We refer to it as the discipleship process. You're expected to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, many believers, they miss this part of the Christian life. The part of growing, the part of developing, the part of maturing in the faith. They give their life to Christ, they're born again, they're regenerated, they're redeemed, they're justified, they're forgiven. But after that, they just get content, satisfied with heaven, and they don't grow. They don't mature, they don't develop their Christian walk. You know, sadly, there's some Christians within the church that they've been serving Christ for years, and they still find themselves spiritual babes, drinking spiritual milk, and excuse this expression, but they still are wearing spiritual diapers. And they've been serving Jesus for years. For years. And they're still babies. They grow old in Christ, but they don't grow up in Christ. Remember that age and maturity is not the same thing. Age and maturity is not the same thing. You could be serving Christ for 10 or 20 years, but it doesn't guarantee growth. It doesn't guarantee maturity. It's like you can meet a young man who's 30, 35, 40 years, and he's still acting like a teenager. And some of you know what I'm talking about. Well, that happens a lot in the Christian walk. There's those who've been serving Christ for years. They've been attending church Sunday after Sunday, month after month, year after year, and they still find themselves in the same place spiritually. They're still struggling with the same things for 10 years. They're still scared to get involved. They still have no commitment for a ministry. 10, 15 years, they don't develop a prayer life. They don't develop devotion to the Word of God. And there's no growth. There's no maturity. There's no spiritual perfection taking place. But they're stunted. They're stalled in their spiritual growth. You know, in the Bible, and just jot down this reference if you can. You don't have to turn there. In the book of Hebrews, the author of the Hebrews, he had this problem with the believers that he was addressing in his letter. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, he writes to the brethren, the believers, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." That really what the author was telling these brethren, these believers, he was saying, by this time you should be mature. You should be growing. You should be teaching. You should be the one giving the word, but you're still babes. You're still in need of milk. You still need someone to teach you the foundations, the first principles and oracles of the word of God. You know, if you can jot this down also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, Paul had the same problem with the believers in Corinth. He tells them that they weren't ready for spiritual meat, for substance, but they still needed spiritual milk because they were babes. And so from the beginning, the believers, Christians, they've wrestled with this since the beginning. Spiritual growth, spiritual maturity lacking in their lives. Listen to this, family. As a follower of Jesus Christ, there's a great danger that you get comfortable in your walk with the Lord. And everyone in this room knows what I'm talking about. That you get comfortable and you get trapped in a routine. And you justify it because you're serving Christ. You love Christ. You love Jesus. You're born again. But it turns into a routine. You get comfortable in your nest. And once the nest comes out, well, once you find yourself in this comfort zone, you do not experience growth in your walk with Christ. And there's a danger. There's a danger that over the years, it's just a routine. Over the years, it's just something you're familiar with. There's nothing new. There's no excitement. There's no desire. There's no passion to grow. You just kind of get used to the routine. And so, okay, I'm going to go to church this day, that day. I got my hours of prayer. I got my devotion. I got the people I like to read and listen to on the radio. And it's just one big routine. Now, none of that is wrong. Don't get me wrong. But it's how you approach it. A lot of times we approach it as a routine. And we don't see it as a time of growth. We don't see it as an opportunity to get to know Jesus. And really this morning, the Holy Spirit is really telling us, myself included, that we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine our hearts, and we need to ask ourselves the question, have I been growing in my walk with Christ? Have I grown in 2010, or am I at the same place where I began 2010? Was 2010 a year of growth? Or do you find yourself at the same place? Or do you find yourselves a few steps back instead of a few steps forward? This morning, we have to just examine our hearts. We got to be honest with ourselves, because at the end of the day, the Lord knows we can't keep anything from him. Are we growing? Are you maturing in your faith? My desire for all of us is that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That 2011 would be a year of growth. That's my greatest desire for your life and for my life. That 2011, that we wouldn't end the year like we began it, but that we would end in victory, mature, growing, developing in our relationship with Jesus. That we would end the year more in love with Jesus. Amen. How many could say amen to that? That's my desire. That's really, man, the greatest desire of my heart for everyone. That they would just grow in their faith. That they would get to know Jesus more. And so because of that, as we start the new year, as this is the first Sunday of 2011, the Lord's placed it in my heart to talk about spiritual growth and maturity. And really, this is what I want to do this morning with the limited time I have. I want to share with you five things that will help you grow and mature in your relationship with Jesus Christ. How do I grow, Adam? How do I mature? How do I become more like Christ? Well, this morning, I want to share with you five biblical principles that if you apply them and if you practice them, now listen to me when I say this though, with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will find growth and maturity to your Christian walk. But don't miss that part, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can't do anything, okay? So as we approach these truths, as we approach these principles, these are things we keep and practice with the help of the Holy Spirit. He's our helper, He's our comforter, and we depend on Him to give us the strength and the grace to apply them and help us to practice them. Amen? He's our resident helper. That's what A.W. Tozer used to refer to the Holy Spirit as, that He's the resident helper, that He's residing, abiding in me, and He's always there to help. He's always there to assist. He's always there to impart the grace of God. And so we perform these things, we practice them with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you five of them. And they're there in your outline with the some scripture reference and whatnot. And I just want us to go through each of them. And I want you to do me a favor this morning, as you do every Sunday. Pay close attention. Take notes if you can. Scribble up, write up that little outline, or maybe you have a journal. Because really what I'm going to share with you, it's very important. It's going to be very simple, very basic. But if you just, by faith, can just grab a hold of them this morning. And if you can just purpose in your heart this year, I'm going to apply these. I'm going to practice these. I'm going to put it to practice. You're going to see growth. You're going to see you developing in your Christian walk by the grace and help of the Holy Spirit. And so let's begin and let's look at point number one. The first thing I want to share with you on something that will help you grow and mature in your relationship with Christ is first, a relentless desire to grow. First, you need a desire to grow. Let me share with you why. Unlike physical growth, spiritual growth is not automatic. It's not automatic. It's not just going to happen. You know, physically, regardless of what you do, you're going to grow. Amen? You know, I remember when I was born, I was like 12 inches, 13 inches, 16 inches. Now I'm 6'3". What did I do to make that happen? Nothing. I just ate a lot of beans. You know, I just grew. So physical growth is automatic. It's natural. But spiritual growth is not. It's not automatic. It just doesn't happen. It requires dedication, determination, and discipline. If you want to grow spiritually, you have to have a desire to grow, and you must be willing to put in work. To grow and mature in your relationship with Christ, first and foremost, you have to have a desire. You have to be willing to put in time, to put in effort, to put in sacrifice, to put in work. Because it takes all of those things to grow and develop in the faith. It's like any other relationship. And for those who are married, you understand this a little more than those who are not. That if you want your marriage to grow, if you want your marriage to be healthy, you gotta put in work. It's not just going to happen automatic. You're not just going to wake up one morning more in love with your wife. You're not just going to wake up knowing her better, knowing her likes and dislikes. It takes work. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. And it's the same with our relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you want to grow, you need the desire. You need to be willing. You need to purpose in your heart that you're going to seek Christ, pursue Christ, and grow in your relationship with Christ. You know, I think one of the best illustrations that I can share this with you this morning is the illustration of a farmer. If you have a farmer who's willing to put in time and effort to work his field, eventually you're going to see growth. Eventually you're going to see fruit of his labor. Now I know other things are involved, other components, but if you have a determined farmer, somehow or some way, he's going to see a harvest. But what happens when you have a lazy farmer? What happens if you have an unwilling farmer, someone who's not willing to put in work, someone who's not willing to take the time to sacrifice? You're not going to see anything on that field. It's like what the Bible says. He who does not work does not eat. And it's the same way with a farmer. If he doesn't work, if he doesn't sacrifice, he's not going to eat. His family is not going to eat. You're not going to see nothing on his field. And so it's the same way in the Christian walk. If you're willing, if you're determined, you'll see growth by the grace of God. But if you're lazy, if you're unwilling, if you don't make it a priority, you will see no growth. The Christian walk is like everything in life. You get out what you're willing to put in. How many of you have heard of that principle, that truth? You get out what you put in. What are you putting in to your Christian walk? What are you putting in to your relationship with Jesus? How badly do you want to grow? That's the question this morning that really the Holy Spirit confronts us with. How badly do you want to grow? How important is it to you? How important is it? How important is your relationship with Jesus? Are you willing to put in the work? You know, C.H. Spurgeon, one of my favorite authors, pastors, and historical figure, he said this concerning prayer. He says, if you have the purpose for prayer, you're going to find time to pray. If you have the purpose, what was he saying? He was saying that everyone has an excuse about prayer. I don't have time to pray. I don't have the energy to pray. I just have too busy of a schedule. But C.H. Spurgeon said, if you purpose in your heart to pray, you're going to pray. You're going to find time. You're going to make the effort. You're going to have the energy. But you have to purpose in your heart. In other words, he was saying, how badly do you want it? How badly do you want it? When you're hungry, you'll do whatever it takes to find food. Amen? It doesn't matter how tired you are. It doesn't matter how busy you are. When you're hungry, you're going to find food. And it's the same way in our relationship with God. If you're hungry for God, you're going to find him. You're going to pursue him. You're going to seek him out. But there has to be a desire. There has to be a passion for spiritual growth. It has to be a priority every day. It has to be the number one priority. You wake up with the attitude, today I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God and with the help of the Spirit of God. But if you don't have that, you're going to grow in everything else but your relationship with Jesus. Do you want to hear what passion sounds like? Do you want to hear a man who hungered for God? Read with me in your notes Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Look at what Paul says. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss, and don't miss this phrase, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. That is the words of a man who hungered for spiritual growth, who longed for God. He came to a place in his life where he said, everything else I count as manure, rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Man, that is the work that we need the Holy Spirit to do in our hearts. And so first, I would say this. Spiritual growth, what do you need? You need a desire. You need to purpose in your heart to grow. Because if you don't have the desire, if you're not willing to put in the work, you will remain the same. Believe me. Believe me. If you don't take that time, if you don't make that effort a year from now, you're going to be at the same place. And I want to say this before we go to the second point. This morning, and let's be honest, we can be honest. Maybe if you're lacking desire, if you're lacking passion, if you're lacking the discipline, this morning, if you say, you know what, Adam, I am the most laziest person in the world. If you're just honest, the Lord knows, I would just share with you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask him. Beg him. Cry out to him and ask him to flood your heart with grace. Pray to the Holy Spirit. Listen to this, family. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is fully God, and he's a person. He's not an emotion. He's not an essence. He's not a force. He's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotions. You can pray to him, and he's our helper. He's our paracletes, the one who comes alongside of us to assist us and help us. And so if you're struggling, if you're lazy, if there's no fire, pray to the Holy Spirit. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that you might long for God. Ask God to endue you with power from above. Because the Holy Spirit, he makes all the difference. I'm convinced of that. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Man, so you have to have a relentless desire to grow. Let's look at the second thing. The second thing that we must practice, that we must apply in order to see spiritual growth, is a daily confession and repentance of sin. Now, the emphasis is on the word daily. There needs to be a daily confession, a daily repentance of sin. Let me tell you why. Sin and spiritual weights will keep you from growing in your faith. Sin is like thorns and weeds in a garden. They choke the life out of everything, and they leave the garden bare, fruitless, and dead. And that's what sin will do in your life. That's what disobedience to the word of God will do in your relationship with Christ. It will kill it. It will choke it. It will keep it from growing. And that's why if you want to grow daily, you need to confess your sin. You need to repent from your sin. You need to repent from the idols within your heart. Daily, you need to ask the Lord Jesus to cover you, to cleanse you, and to wash you of all sin with his precious blood. Because sin will keep you from growing. Spiritual weights will keep you from growing in your relationship with Christ. And you need to daily kill sin. Amen. You got to. You have to. A daily confession. A daily repentance. And this is what you need to do. I was sharing this with a brother the other day, and I don't know if he weirded out on me, but I just said it, and then I explained it, and he said, okay, I understand. We need to daily bathe in the blood of Christ, and we need to daily, now don't weird out on me, okay, this is biblical, John chapter 6, we need to drink the blood of Christ daily. We need to drink from the blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein. Now, when I told my wife that, she thought I was talking about vampires and stuff. And I said, no, it doesn't mean we drink it literally. It means that we partake of the blood. We just ask God, just cover me, cleanse me, wash me. Jesus, just bathe me in your blood. Because the blood brings cleansing. The blood brings washing. The blood removes the filth, the thorns, the weeds that keep us from growing. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the word confess that John used, it was written in the present tense. It speaks of ongoing action. It speaks of a continual confessing. It's not something you do once. It's something you do continually, ongoing. Every day we need a confession and a repentance. And we find forgiveness. Amen. And so if you want to grow, everything and anything that's keeping you from growing has to be removed, has to be laid at the feet of Calvary. Because a failure to confess, a failure to repent, a failure to pursue holiness will keep you from growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you're struggling with sin, if you have honest struggles, if you find yourself tied down to spiritual weights, ask the Holy Spirit to bring deliverance, to bring freedom. Ask the Holy Spirit to apply Calvary's work to your heart. Because on the cross, Jesus delivered us from the penalty of sin, but he also delivered us from the power of sin. And you take your struggle, you take your battles, you take your temptation to Calvary, and you find your deliverance at Calvary. Amen? That's the truth. You know, people struggling, battling with sin, that's honest. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's why the Lord came. And that's why the Lord poured out his spirit to give us the strength, the power, the grace that we need to say no to sin and yes to God. And so, secondly, how do you grow? What do you need to practice and apply? You need a daily confession and a daily repentance of sin. Take a daily bath in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the next thing, family. The third thing I want to share with you is this. The third thing that we need to apply and practice to grow in our relationship and faith in the Lord Jesus is we need a steady supply of spiritual food. A steady supply of spiritual food. If you want to grow and mature in the faith, you need to eat. You need to eat the Word of God. Let me even share it like this. You need to feast on the Word of God. The Word of God is spiritual food for our spirit. It contains nutrients, vitamins, protein that we need for spiritual growth. And so in order to grow, you need food, spiritual food. And the Bible teaches us that the spiritual food is not the purpose-driven life by Rick Warren. It's not the knowledge of the Most Holy by A.W. Tozer, no matter how much I love him. It's not lectures to my students by C.H. Spurgeon, no matter how much I respect him. But the spiritual word and food is the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Every other book is secondary to the Word of God. Amen? I don't care how good it is. I don't care how great that teacher is. The Lord uses him to help us to grow. But it's secondary to the Word of God. We need to faithfully read the Word, hear the Word, study the Word. By doing that, we'll see growth. We'll see maturity. You know, when I was young, you know, I used to be a lot more fit than I was now. And in order to gain muscle, I used to drink a protein shake. And the protein is really food for the muscle. That's how you build up muscle. Young brothers, you know, some of you are a little skinny and you want to gain weight. You need protein. Nothing else will work but protein. You need a protein shake. You need to eat chickens and whatnot. This is not a dietary class, you know. Google it. But all I'm saying, you can apply that spiritually. Spiritually, to grow, you need protein. You need meat. You need a protein shake. And it's the Word of God. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word. You know, that word pure, it speaks of unadulterated. It means that there's nothing mixed in it. It's just the Word. There's nothing else needed, you might say. There's nothing else that you put within it. The pure milk of the Word, desire. And look at what he says, that you may grow. Desire the milk of the Word, drink it, feast on it, that you may grow. And so we need to make the Word of God a priority in our lives. So listen to this, family, and I share this to young people a lot. Once a week is not enough. One Sunday out of the week is not enough. You need the Word every day. daily, steady supply of spiritual food. You know, some Christians are starving their spirits. Some Christians, spiritually, they're starving. And it's sad because the flesh is nice and fat, nice and muscular, but the spirit is scrawny and skinny and weak. And you want to know why? Is because instead of feeding the spirit, you're feeding the flesh with those movies, with those video games, with music, with that conversation with the friend, with the internet. And all you're doing is feeding the flesh. And you're neglecting the spirit. And you wonder why you struggle so much. And you wonder why you stumble so much. Now, don't get me wrong. We all stumble. We all have our failures and our shortcomings. But all I'm saying is that there's a battle going on within you. And whoever gets the more supplies are going to win the battle for the day. Whoever gets the more supplies. And if you're supplying the spirit, you're going to have victory in Jesus' name. But if you're supplying the flesh, you're going to be defeated. You're going to be weak. And you're going to be conquered for that day. Because ultimately Jesus has brought the victory. But Jesus wants to bring victory to our lives today, now, this morning. And so you got to feed the spirit. You got to read the word. And I just want to share this. Every opportunity you have, read the word, study the word, hear the word. Attend as many Bible studies as you can. Overdose on the word of God. Overdose. You know, because the word doesn't get old. Food doesn't get old, right? No, you say, man, I love food. It doesn't get old. It doesn't get boring. I ate pizza yesterday. I can eat it today. You know, I've been loving food all my life. And 28, I still love it. It's the same with the word. It never gets old. It never gets boring, but it's food for our spirit. You know, I want to share this. I don't know how much time I have this morning, but I'm going to go just a little longer than I have been going. Forgive me on that, family. But I want to just share with you this briefly. A few tips on how to read the Bible, on how to get the most of your reading. I just wanted to throw this in because I know many read the word and sometimes they feel like they're not getting anything from it. But I just want to give you some tips on reading the word. First, you need to read the word prayerfully. Prayerfully. What do I mean by that? Pray to the Holy Spirit to bring you illumination, to teach you, to open your eyes, to open your heart, that you may receive something from your reading. So you read prayerfully. Secondly, read the word systematically. What do I mean by that? Simply this. Have a schedule. Have a plan. Have a faithful schedule of your daily reading. Listen to this. The thing that you don't really want to do is get up one morning and say, okay, Lord, where are you going to lead me today? Oh, okay, there, I'm going to read this chapter. Don't do that. Now, read the word, and if you like doing that, if you like playing Russian roulette with your Bible, that's okay. But read it systematically. What do I mean by that? Start where you left off. Begin in Genesis, begin in Matthew, and make your bookmarks. And every day, read a few chapters from the old and read a few chapters from the new. Therefore, that you might have the context, that you might understand what's going on, how it's connected. Read it systematically. Have a plan. You know, whenever you read a book, you don't just open it up and start in chapter 4, do you? You don't start in chapter 8. Why are you doing that to the Bible? It's divinely inspired, but it's also a human book. Therefore, it follows the grammar and structure like any other human book. And so you're not going to start in chapter 9, but some of us do that. We say, well, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, well, I don't need that. Let's go to the Psalms. Yeah, I like the Psalms. Amen. The Psalms are good, but you need Genesis. You need Exodus. You need the book of Leviticus. Oh, man, the book of Leviticus, it's all about the cross, the Lord Jesus. And you don't want to miss that. So read it systematically. Now, another way, read it faithfully. Read it faithfully. What do I mean by that? Read it every day. You need the word every day. Spend time in it faithfully. Read it expectantly. What do I mean by that? Have a paper and pen as you're reading in your hand available and expect the Lord to speak. Approach your daily reading with a heart of expectancy. Today, Lord, you're going to speak, and it's going to be so important that I'm going to write it down. It's going to be so important, Lord, I'm going to have to remember it. I'm going to go back to it and find encouragement from it. And fifthly, read it humbly. Read the word humbly. What do I mean by that? Don't be afraid to ask for help from a pastor or teacher. If you got a question, don't be afraid to go to someone that might be more familiar with the word, that might be able to clear up any question for you. Be careful that you don't do all your research online, because online there's a lot of good resources, but the truth is anyone can put something up online. Be careful to get that you don't get all your resources from YouTube. You know, people come up to me and say, man, I heard this, and this is my view. It's like, oh, where did you learn it? YouTube. Okay. You know, you got to be careful with that. You know, make sure you go to someone who has the proper knowledge, the proper background, the proper education by the grace of God, that spirit-filled that can help you out and assist you in your journey through the Bible. But we got to read the word. We got to feast on the word. We need the scriptures. We need the author of the scriptures. Amen. Let's continue. I got about 5 minutes and I think I can do it. The fourth thing that helps us, assists us in our Christian growth is a consistent fellowship with the body of Christ. A consistent fellowship with the body of Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says this: and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And look at what he says: not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And so, fourthly, I would say this: the local church is essential in the growth of a believer. Christians need to be in consistent fellowship with other Christians. We need each other. In order for us to grow, in order for us to mature, each of us are an important component in the other's growth. We need the church. We need the body of Christ. We need to be accountable to one another. We need accountability partners that helps the growth. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to study the word with one another. We need to serve one another. We're sheep, and sheep flock together. You know that a sheep is in trouble when it's by itself. Amen. But when the sheep flock together, they got each other's back, you might say. They protect, they warm, they help one another. Well, we're a body. We need a function together. Cut off my hand and it will do nothing. But connected to my body, I can get some work done. Amen. So we're an army. We must fight together. And so I would just encourage you, don't neglect the church. Don't stay away from the church. Be consistent in your fellowship. Because you need the church to grow. You need the church to develop. And the church needs you. And I say this with all respect, even to myself. I got to remind myself this. But the radio is not a substitute for the local church. The podcast is not a substitute for the local church. You know, now I'm hearing that people go to church online. And there they stand in front of their internet. They sit in front of their monitor and they attend church Sunday morning. Now praise God that you're reaching out to others online. And praise God for the radio. Praise God for the podcast. It's useful. It's helpful. The Lord uses it. But you can't substitute it for the church. You need other Christians. You need other Christians to be around you. You need other Christians to push your buttons. Amen. Amen for the imperfect church. Because that teaches me love. That teaches me forgiveness. Praise God when I don't agree with everything. Because that teaches me how to submit. Praise God. Praise God that I'm surrounded by imperfect believers. Because I'm imperfect too. Amen. But the Lord of the church is perfect. And he's going to finish his work. He's going to get us where we need to be together. We're living stones. We're building up a living house. And we need each other. And so learn to love the church. Learn to be at church. Learn to be surrounded by the body of Christ. Because we're family. I need you just as much as you need me. We're a family. I want you to grow, and I hope and pray you want me to grow. I need your prayers. And guess what? You need my prayers. I need your truth. I need you to your devotions. I need you to come and say, man, the Lord's been showing me this. So I need the nuggets that you find in your daily devotional. But you need my nuggets too. You need my exhortation. And as iron sharpens iron, so the brethren sharpen the brethren. How many can say amen to that? I love the church because I love the Lord of the church. I love the church because the church has been bought and purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus loves his church. And if you love Jesus, you love the church. Amen. Let's finish with this. And I'm going to ask Jonah to come up. And the last thing I want to say, and this is the most important point I can share with you this morning. For spiritual growth, for spiritual maturity, you need a constant communion with Christ. A constant communion with Christ. Let's finish up reading these verses. In John 15, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." And let's read this together if you can. I know you have it in your notes. "For without me, you can do nothing." And so the last thing I want to share with you is this. Without communion, without fellowship with Christ, there's no spiritual growth. There is no becoming like Christ unless you are communing with Christ. And so as a believer, you need to spend time with Jesus. You need to spend time seeking Christ, walking with Christ, talking with Christ, praising Christ, worshiping Christ, learning about Christ, loving Christ. It's all about Jesus. And listen to this. Christian growth is all about Jesus. And I've said this from day one, that as you spend time with Jesus, you will become more like Jesus. He's going to change you. He's going to transform you. He's going to help you, and he's going to perfect his work in your life. And so I would encourage you, and I would, in all truth, beg you, make Jesus a priority. Live a Christ-centered life, that everything you do, make sure Jesus is at the center. Make sure every activity revolves around the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as you commit your life into his nail-pierced hands, he will finish the work that he started in your life. Constant communion with Christ. The Christian walk, it's all about Jesus. And so let's stand and let's dismiss and let's end in some prayer. And I would invite you, if you have it in your heart, what if we come up and what if we just ask the Holy Spirit to make 2011 a year of growth, a year of spiritual growth, that we wouldn't end the year that in the same way that we began,